I want to let you know if you get hot that I don't mind if you move. In fact, if you want to move right now, it's weather tells us that it's just going to get hotter. It's whatever it is now. It's in 2 hours when I'm finished, it'll be a lot hotter. So take that as a warning. Stand up. You can put your seat down here. You can put chairs down here. There's a little bit of shade up there. Move wherever you want. I don't mind at all. There's actually green chairs right back here. You can grab one of these green chairs and put it in the shade. It's fine with me. If you're hot now, you will be hotter later. Once you're in a spot where you feel comfortable, why don't you grab a Bible? If you don't have one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. When you have it, open up with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24, verse 27. It's deceiving. I'm up here right now. It feels so good. I was in the sun and it was hot, but now I'm like, oh, I can go for a long time. Acts 24, verse 27. I will try to keep it short. The opportune word in that is try. Try to keep it short. Chapter 27, or chapter 24 of the book of Acts, verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. That's a great name for a child, Porcius Festus. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then the high priests and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor for him to Jerusalem. Rather, and desired a favor against him that he would send him to Jerusalem that they could lay in wait to kill him. Father, I thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless us this day and speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. What gets you? What would you say gets your goat? What topic or event or person that if it's brought up, it's like nails on a chalkboard for you? Once it comes up, your wife or your husband, they just groan and say, uh-oh, and they walk away from you because they know here it comes. It might be for some of us, it might be taxes. The subject of taxes, oh, that gets me. I can understand. This year, record revenues, $3 trillion. That's a lot of money. I used to wonder, where did it all go? Where does $3 trillion go? When they can't even keep libraries open or police on the road, where does $3 trillion go? I used to wonder that until I found out that it costs government employees $400 just for a haircut. There's where it goes. I can understand why Congress now is debating a bill to abolish the income tax and instead just take the income. That may get you. People may get you. Certain individuals, if their name come up, it can get you. You hear their name and instantly you have a conversation. Paris or Brittany, Michael Moore, Al Gore, President Bush, President Clinton, or her husband. Take your choice. One of those names, it just gets you. Telephone. So phones nowadays, they can get me. The cell phone, you know, the cell phone driver. 12 miles per hour in a 35 zone. And it keeps looking like they're going to pull over and let you pass, but they just swerve right back. Just down the road. That'll get me. Telemarketers, they get me. How do they know the minute I sit down to eat my meal? I'm starting to get paranoid about it. I think they're watching me. The minute I put a bite to my mouth, there's the phone. Telemarketer. Phones, The new answering machines that businesses have, those get me. Listen to all the options before you press one, as they may have changed. So you got to listen through this. Press one, press two, half an hour long sometimes. It can get me. Speaking of that, someone sent me this. It cracked me up. It's the answering service. It's that automated answering service for the psychiatric hotline. You may have seen this. Welcome to the psychiatric hotline. Option number one. If you are obsessive compulsive, please press one repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone else to press two. If you have multiple personalities, please press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid delusional, that's me, we know who you are and what you want. Just stay on the line until we trace the call. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully and a little voice will tell you which number to press. This one is the best. If you are manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer. What gets you? In our text here, I can answer that. What gets these people, the high priest, these folks? It says that there's a new governor. 2 years has gone by since we last saw Paul. 2 years. A new governor comes into the region there. Travels down from Caesarea to Jerusalem to meet with the important people. Now let's just say for a second that Ted Kulongoski came down here and met with you. And asked you, what can I do for you? What favor could I give you? What are you going to ask for? You're going to ask for something important, something big. Hey, can you help us put in a river trail or you know, something like that? Can you help us with a building project? Or can you get rid of a building project that we can't seem to get rid of there on G Street? Can you get rid of this deck? We can't seem to remove it. We have all this power, but he just keeps doing what he wants to do. Can you help us? That's what you're going to ask for. Guess what these guys asked for? After 2 years, what does it say? It says after 2 years, they desired a favor, verse 3. They wanted the Apostle Paul. Give us the Apostle Paul. Bring him down here so that when he's coming down, we can kill him. Now that to me is incredible. 2 years has passed. 2 years has gone. Paul's been out of their hair. They haven't had to deal with him. The minute there's an opportunity, they're still obsessed with the Apostle Paul. Now, there's only one thing that I know of that can cause that kind of obsession, that can cause that kind of radical craziness, that can cause these high priests to break the law. We want to kill him on the way down here. Their law said you couldn't do that. Their law said that was illegal. Rome's law said that was illegal. Yet they were so obsessed, so angry, that they would break the law that they were supposed to be holding up. What causes that? What's the force that would make people this obsessed? There's only one. It's bitterness. This high priest, if you've been following, this high priest is bitter at the Apostle Paul. Why? 2 years before this, Paul was brought before him. The Roman guard was there. The important people of Jerusalem was there. All of his cronies, all the important people were there. And Paul, if you read chapter 23, verse 3, insulted him. He said, God will smite you, you whited wall. You're breaking the law. You're supposed to be holding up. And it caused this high priest to have an agenda. It caused this high priest to be bitter. You insulted me. You said those words to me 2 years ago. I'm going to get you back. It's bitterness. Bitterness is brutal. Bitterness, it's been said, and this is the truth. Bitterness is like a boomerang. It will always hit the holder. You think you're throwing it at somebody. You think you're angry at somebody. You think you're going to get back at them. But what happens is bitterness always, always hits the holder. That's who it hits. Let me read to you an example. And I only read this. I don't like bad stories. But I read this simply because it illustrates the brutality of bitterness. It's about a guy. He's pretty popular. He's pretty famous. He's a murderer now. He's in jail. His name is Ron Shanabarger. Now, this is an excerpt from an article I have on Ron. It says this. He's now in jail, in prison, for the rest of his life. The sequence of events began in October of 1996 when Ronald Schanabarger's father died, and he asked his then fiancée, Amy Parsons, to return home early from a cruise with her family. When she refused, prosecutors say, he began plotting revenge. And Ronald, this is what Ronald confessed to, Ronald confessed to marrying his wife, impregnating her, and allowing her to bond with her baby for 7 months, all so he could kill the baby and get revenge for not cutting short her vacation to visit him when her father died. The brutality of bitterness. That's what happens with bitterness. You think you're hurting somebody else. You think, I'm going to get them. I have this bitterness in my heart, these high priests. What you said to me 2 years ago, that offended me. So I'm going to get you. I'm going to break the law to get back at you. It's a boomerang. It always hits the holder. These guys now are breaking the law. One of the most important indicators on a person's success in life is how they deal with hard times. There's a study that I have. It's from the American Journal of Psychiatry. It was done about a decade ago. This study followed 173 men that graduated from Harvard University in the 1940s. Followed them. Long study, 50 years long or so. And then it asked them recently, 10 years ago or so, some questions. And what this study came up with was fascinating to me. It said the leading indicator on these men saying, I've lived a happy life, a satisfied life, a good life. The leading indicator of that was how those people dealt with life blows, with life's blows, without having bitterness or blame. The number one indicator on these 173 men, with them, for them to be able to say, I lived a satisfied life. Number one, how they dealt with life's blows, the ability to deal with life's blows without being bitter or blaming people. This high priest, he's not doing too well. This high priest here, he's blaming people. Look at the Apostle Paul's the reason for my problems. And if you've studied this high priest, he had huge problems at this time. Being removed from his office, I believe he blamed Paul for all those problems. It's Paul's fault. If it wasn't for him, he insulted me. He's the cause of those issues, filled with bitterness. So what are we to do? A couple quick points, and I will be very quick. Number one, you prevent bitterness. Flip over with me to Hebrews chapter 12. The key is to get it before it ever starts. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Says in Hebrews 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Beware, lest you fall from God's grace, you get out of God's grace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. That word for defile there, it means in the Greek stain. What happens with bitterness is it stains your whole life. It stains you. It causes there to... We're a triune being. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. What happens in our mind will affect every other part of us. And so the book of Hebrews says, don't let a root of bitterness defile you. It'll affect your other parts. There's lots of anecdotal evidence from the healthcare profession that says many of the diseases that we struggle with, their root cause is bitterness. What we think ends up affecting the other parts of our body. I get sick, it's my body. But you know what? My spirit gets down, my mind gets down. It happens. We're connected together. So the writer of Hebrews, whoever it may be, says, don't let bitterness do that. It will rip you off from the grace that God has for you. So how do you do that? Well, verse 12 or verse 14 gives us the answer. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How do you make sure bitterness doesn't get into your heart? There's a lot there, but I believe the key is, it says, follow peace with all men. Pursue after peace with people. Look for opportunities to make peace with people, not to focus on the problems, not to look at the bad stuff. The writer Paul would say this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. He would say, I've chosen to approve what is excellent. I've chosen not to look at the bad in people, or the negative in people, or what I don't like in people, or what I get bitter about with people, but rather I pursue after peace by looking at what is excellent with people, by approving what is good in them. That's the key. How do you help keep bitterness from taking root in your heart? You approve what is excellent in people. That's what you concentrate on. That's what you talk about when you talk about people. That's what you focus on. Matt, there's nothing good to talk about this individual. It's all bad with them. They're pure evil. I believe there's always two sides to a coin. Maybe the best way to illustrate this, there's two ways to look at things, is what a college professor did one time with his students. He wrote up on his chalkboard these words. With no punctuation, he wrote up on this chalkboard, it said, woman, without her, man is nothing. No punctuation. Had half women, half men in that class. He says, punctuate that sentence. Make a sentence out of those words. The guys, they all did this. They punctuated that sentence like this. Woman, comma, without her man, comma, is nothing. The guys, they did it that way. The gals, they punctuated it a little differently. They said, woman, comma, without her, comma, man is nothing, period. There's always two ways to punctuate a situation. There's always two ways to look at a situation. There's always a way to approve what is excellent, I believe. To look at somebody and say, you know what, they made a mistake. You know what, they didn't mean it that way. They didn't understand how that would affect me, so I'm going to punctuate what they said differently. I'm going to approve what is excellent so that a root of bitterness does not creep up in my heart. I'm going to do that, and you can do that no matter what. You can force yourself. You can make a choice, as Paul would say, I've chosen to approve what's excellent in people. So I don't allow a root of bitterness to spring up and rob me of the grace, the good things God has for me. That's point number one. Point number two, for those that have had bitterness already rooted in their heart, what do you do? If it's already there, what do you do? Flip over with me quickly to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 31. You say, I've already got the root in there. It's too late for me. I look at that person and I get angry. I can only think negative things about them. What am I to do? How do I deal with it? It's already taken root. It's a forest in my heart. Well, look at what Paul would say in Ephesians 4, verse 31. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all bitterness, and then he goes on to list kind of the stuff that, the fruit of bitterness. When you're bitter at somebody, you're going to be angry with them. When you're bitter at somebody, you're going to speak evil of them. Paul says, put it away with all malice. The Greek there, the original language of the New Testament, could be translated this way. Go postal on your bitterness. Put it away. It's a strong word. You go postal on it. You don't just think about it and concentrate on it. No way. You dig it up. You get rid of it. You go postal on it. I believe there's a group of people that understand this, that get this. A group of people that we could learn from. Who's that? It's the Amish. You know the Amish, the guys? No electricity, no running water, they don't use TVs, radios, phones, none of that. They drive around in those buggies, you know, the horse-drawn buggies. I saw a guy sent me an email of a picture of the back of one of those horse-drawn buggies. Perhaps you saw it. On the back of it was this sign. He had hand-painted it, and it said this on the back of it. It said, original high-efficiency vehicle runs off of oats and grass. Caution, do not step in exhaust. I say, Al Gore, if you're serious, let's see in one of those things. If you're serious about all you're talking about, I want you in one of those. The Amish, they get this. They get the idea of putting away all bitterness. They get this idea of not letting it take root. Perhaps you recall just 8 months ago, 2nd of October 2006, a guy by the name of Charles Roberts went into a little schoolhouse there in West Nickel Mine, ended up taking some hostages. The police surrounded it. He said, either stand back, police, or I'm going to start shooting. And he did start shooting, and five young gals were killed there. You guys remember that. There's a lot of room there to be bitter. There's a lot of room there to get angry. There's a lot of room there to allow that stuff to root in your heart in that situation. Police, why didn't you do a better job? This guy, why didn't someone take care of him? Why didn't they see this earlier? There's a lot of room for bitterness there. But you know what? That group didn't get bitter. That same day, they went over to his wife and his kids' house. And they said, we forgive you. We hold nothing against you. They've helped out her and her kids financially to this point. But they did something that I thought was radical. I thought was postal. 10 days after that event, that schoolhouse at 4:45 a.m., a huge diesel excavator pulled up to that schoolhouse and flattened it completely. Now if you go there, all that you'll see there is a green pasture. There's no memorial. There's no plaque to it. There's nothing. They got rid of any remembrance, any opportunity to think about that situation. They flattened it. They eradicated it. And they did it in a very unique way. Normal people, or Amish people rather, don't use excavators. They don't use that kind of stuff. It's all shovels and picks. But here they said, we need outside help on this. We need to get rid of this immediately. We need to eradicate this completely. And so they hired outside help to come excavate, to come get rid of that root of bitterness. And today, there's no bitterness there. There's a book that just came out. I was reading excerpts from it. It's amazing how they've been able to forgive. I believe because they understand this. Put it away. Don't make a remembrance of it. Don't make a memorial of it. I'd love to do that, you may say, Matt. But I wish I could hire an outside help. I wish I could hire an excavator to help me because I remember it and I dwell on it and I know it's poisoning my life. I know it's causing problems in me. It's rooted in me. What about me? I can't just hire an excavator. I can't do that. I need outside help. What am I to do? I believe we have outside help. The book of Hebrews, the same book, Hebrews, it says this, that we can be purged by the blood of Christ. We have outside help. We have the ultimate excavator when it comes to bitterness. We have the ability to take communion, to remember the blood that was shed for us, remember Christ's body that was broken for us and broken from that for that one that you're bitter for. You can take communion. I believe it's the most radical excavator you can ever get for bitterness. And so this morning, I've been as brief as I can, we're going to take communion together. So if the guys would go get communion, we're going to pass it out. We'll go very quickly, trust me. If the worship team would come up, they'll sing a couple songs. And if you are bitter in any area, I want you this morning to go radical, to go postal in that bitterness, to drink of the cup, to eat of Christ's body, and to remember that he can excavate that. That from now on, that same person that hurt you, Christ's blood forgave him. That same person that damaged you, Christ loves them and wants to see them in heaven. That's what the Amish do. So let's do that this morning. We'll take communion very quickly. If you don't have communion, raise your hand to make sure the guys know that you don't, and they'll get you it. I want those in here, like myself, that might struggle with bitter situations. Maybe it was an insult, like the high priest had from Paul. Maybe it was an event. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it was a business deal. I want you to root that out today. I want you to remember and be purged by the blood of Jesus Christ that he died on that cross to forgive that individual. To think of that person like Jesus did to those that would nail him to that cross. He would look at him and he would say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive that person. They didn't understand how that would affect me. They don't understand how that hurt me, how that cut me. They couldn't. They couldn't have understood. So Lord, forgive them. They didn't know what they did. Choose to approve what's excellent. Choose to make that kind of decision. Get rid of that bitterness. Root it out. Excavate it today by the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And so Father, we, with the body of your Son that was broken for us, remember that your word says by his stripes we can be healed. By the stripes what Jesus endured on our behalf, we can be healed from those bitter events, those bitter situations, Lord. We don't want to be hurt by them any longer. We don't want those boomerangs of bitterness to come back and hit us, Father. So this day, as we take of your Son's body, Lord, we pray to be healed from those areas. Purge us from those areas. Let's take of Christ's body together. And Father, we never want to forget. That the same blood that forgave and forgives us was shed on those that hurt us on their behalf as well. Father, you tell us in your word that if we won't forgive others, then you won't forgive us. And you don't say that to be mean or to be bad. You say that for our behalf because you realize what bitterness will do to us. So this morning, Lord, we extend forgiveness to that individual, to that person, to whatever it may be. We forgive them, Lord, just as we've been forgiven, we forgive them. And so now through your body and through your blood, Lord, would you purge us from those areas? Would you excavate that root of bitterness, Lord? May it turn into green pastures that feed us, that provide, Lord, a pasture of relaxation for us, Lord. May it be changed by your blood this day, Lord. We don't put a memorial up. We don't put a plaque up. We don't go back and visit that, Lord. We want it eradicated. We want it dealt with. So, Lord, this morning, by your blood, excavate that incident. Excavate those things, Lord, and forgive us for holding them against them. So by your blood, do that this morning. Let's drink of his blood. And Father, we ask that we would be a people as we start this summer season, that we would be a people that live free from those things, that we would be a people that are not stained by bitterness, that's not polluting our other parts of our life, that we would live, Lord, to the full grace that you have for us. So may we pursue peace with all. May we approve what is excellent other people. And may we put away bitterness with all malice. In Jesus' name. Amen.